Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. We're going to go over this very quickly to get up to speed in the direction we want to go this morning. Praise you, Lord God. Habakkuk chapter 2. Give me a minute to find it. It's located in your table of contents. Well, if you have a pre-Hebrew Bible like mine, it's page 1145. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you got it?
Yeah.
Verse 1, Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch. Set me upon the tower. That's the place of intercession, of oversight, of prophetic vision. And I'll watch to see what he will say unto me, or what I'll answer when I'm reproved. He said, I'm going to hear God. And it's probably going to involve some correction in what he tells me. Some readjustment, some redirection. It's amazing how often we think we know what we should do until we pray and God says, no, that's not what I have for you. Amen. Here's what I need you to do. This could be long term or it could be for the moment, for the day. God is in the business of directing our plans if we'll allow Him. His path is always better than the one we were going to choose.
Amen.
Amen. He's got great, great things I have for you. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans of good and not of evil.
Yeah.
An expected end. Really means a future and a hope. And so God's, He's got a destiny for us. Amen.
Yeah.
And if we're here and obey, we'll step into greatness. Verse 2 it says, and the Lord answered me. He said, write the vision. Make a plan upon table that he may run that readeth it. So God gave Habakkuk, this prophet, in this very small book in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets, but I believe God gave him a major message. He says, I'm giving you a vision, write it down, and whoever reads this vision is to run with it. Now, we've covered this many times in here, but it's not an accident that Habakkuk ended up in your Bible. God knew when he gave this vision to Habakkuk, you know, 3,000 years ago, nearly, 2,500. That this book would end up in your Bible. And those with a hunger for God read their Bible. Those that don't have a hunger for God, that really just kind of going through the motions even though they're Christians, probably don't. Especially the minor prophets. They'll read some New Testament, some Psalms and Proverbs, but probably not get into reading the entire Bible. And years ago, I was reading in Habakkuk and I found this verse. And it jumped out at me. That God says, whoever reads this vision in Habakkuk now know where they're to run with. Now, running requires full effort. Amen? I mean, if you're going to run, it requires a focus, a target, your whole body in unison, going the same direction, same purpose. It's an all-in activity. Amen. Hard to cook supper and run at the same time. You know, change oil in the car while you're running. You don't even want to do it in the car, right? Anyway. And I believe God's saying, whoever reads this vision knows what they're to do with their life. It becomes your assignment for life. Is this okay with you?
Yeah.
Because I want to know what God has for me.
Yes.
And years ago, I hit this passage. God says, here's what I'm wanting for the end time church. Because the next verse says, the vision is yet for an appointed time. Say now.
Now.
But at the end, we're in the end. It shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, though it seems like it's running late, wait for it. It will not be late. It's not going to tarry. God said, I'm giving you a vision. Whoever has a Bible in the end times, this is what they're to run with. Even if they haven't read it. See, if you're a Christian in these end times, and you're not running with what God said to run with, you're missing God. Let's think about this just for a second. If God says paint your house blue, which he would never do. But if you said paint your house blue and you don't paint it at all, you miss God.
Yeah.
If you paint it any other color, you miss God. God gave specific instructions, paint the house blue. Right? If God says in the Bible, I have a vision I want you to run with, and you don't run at all, you miss God. If you run toward the wrong thing, you miss God. This is the only passage of Scripture where God says, if you read this vision, it's what you're to be doing. So in vision of Scripture, he talks about it in that fashion. And what is the vision? Not everybody at once.
Glory.
Verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God said, I need my end time church running toward the glory.
Yes.
Now listen. We live in a natural physical body. We live in a natural physical world. We lived all of our lives, for the most part, living out of the natural systems of operation.
Yes.
We live out of the natural. Eat, drink, marry, even go to church, whatever, out of a natural walk. But God said all along, I'm looking for a supernatural church. I wonder if you're doing the things that Jesus did, even on a higher level.
Yeah.
Right? More often. Longer periods of time. Yet we have substituted for the supernatural, just trying to live out of the natural still. God's saying, I got a vision for the end times that involves the glory of God. Now listen. Glory is the atmosphere of heaven. It's concentrated agape love, which is not even accessible by a natural man to carry it. And God's saying in the end times, I need a church to manifest His glory, and glory without question, Shekinah glory. The glory that makes the face to shine. The glory that looks like a building's on fire but it's not burning. The glory that fixes everything, that heals everything. The glory is supernatural.
Yes.
You cannot make the glory of God natural.
That's right.
It's supernatural.
Yes.
Now here's something that most churches, most Christians are going to think you're crazy. If you receive or believe what I'm about to say, they already think I'm crazy. Do you follow me? A church not pursuing the glory has missed God in these end times. And a church that thinks the glory or just living as a Christian is just a natural existence has missed God. We've already demonstrated through testimonies this morning, I really believe we're to be supernatural beings.
Yes.
Amen.
Supernatural means above natural.
Yes.
Yeah.
You function in the natural, but you live above it.
Right.
You're not limited by it.
Right.
Do you follow me? We live above natural limitation by faith. We access supernatural ability, power. We believe prayer really works. But we believe beyond. See, most Christians will say, well, I believe prayer works, but they never see it work.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask probably a good percentage of evangelicals believe God heals. They've never seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You find that they have a supernatural realization, but a natural expectation and lifestyle that aligns with that. No faith in living out of the natural. They know supernatural is available, but they're living out of the natural. With this thought in mind, turn with me. Hold this spot if you need to. Go to Matthew chapter 25. This just dropped in me. We'll just say it's fresh off the shelf. Matthew 25, have you got it? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 10 of them. This would represent 10 saved people. Do you follow me? The heathen are not bridesmaids. These are people that are saved. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Smart and stupid. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They had an empty or limited supply of oil in their lamp. And apparently, to meet this bridegroom, you need oil. And oil represents the anointing. The Bible says we can anoint people with oil. A representation of the anointing, the Spirit of God's power being transferred upon them, right? They took no anointing. They took no supernatural content with them. No supernatural substance with them. They went with the natural, with the potential of carrying the anointing, but had very little. What do you mean by the potential? A Christian, a person born again, has the potential in them to carry all the power of God that heaven provides. If you've given your life to Jesus, you've got full potential to carry healing power.
Yes.
You've got full potential to carry financial blessing power.
Oh, yes.
You've got full potential to carry peace and joy and love.
Yes.
The glory. It's all in there. It's all available.
Yes.
God birthed you as a new vessel. A new container. And I believe these vessels represent them as a container. They're carrying nothing in them that they were reborn to be able to carry. Do you follow me? They're not meeting their potential. It says, verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They got filled. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Notice in verse 5 the word tarried. Does that sound familiar with something we just read? Though the vision tarry, wait for it, it will not tarry.
Amen.
It seems like things are running late. So, you know, it hadn't happened on my schedule. I'll revert to living back out of the natural. I won't bother to fill myself with the substance of heaven if it's not coming right now. It says the bridegroom slumbered. They all slumbered and slept. The bridegroom didn't sleep. They slept.
Mm-hmm.
And it says all. It's okay to rest. But try to rest filled. Versus spent spiritually, right? And at midnight. Midnight represents the last minute. The last second. I was hunting something the other day. At the house. It's happened here many times. This is a daily thing when I'm here looking for tools. Everybody's moving my tools. My wife does it at home. And I was hunting something. I was hunting something, and it was in the last place I looked. You know why? Once I found it, I didn't look anymore.
That's right.
I'm actually making a point out of this. At midnight, what happens at midnight? Time changes.
Yeah.
You go to a new day.
Yes.
A new day, a new hour, a new minute. Time changes. And when this call for the bridegroom comes, I believe for us it's the rapture. When it comes, time just changed. It may seem like it was, you know, 2 in the afternoon, but when it happens, it became midnight. Time just changed. We moved to a new realm. What's up?
Got a bug crawling on there.
Oh, yeah. Put it over here.
He needs
it.
It's
in your pocket.
Hold this for me. Praise God. And maybe do it for you. I'm sorry. I was at work one day years ago. Somebody brought in a bunch of crawdads. I said, where could I be? I've been seeing a lot of crawdads. And I took one and threw it in my mouth. And they thought I hit it in my hand. I opened my mouth, pulled it back out. Do you want it back? Amen. Anyway, I'm a country boy. I can't help it. Praise God. He was a small one. Time changes at midnight. And when this call comes, everything's going to shift. We go from the time of the Gentiles to the tribulation in a moment. The church is out of the way, and the Antichrist is free to arise. The devil's free to roam, because the church is what's restraining him right now.
Yeah.
It says, verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bride cometh. Go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. You know what it means to be to trim a lamp, right? You turn the wick down to maximize your light, reduce the smoke. You set the wick. And the food he said unto the wives, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. That's a dangerous place to be. These are Christians. No oil. Now, they had had oil, but they didn't think enough of the system to keep refilling. People come in here, experience oil. Oh, I've got oil now. And they go out. Don't come back. And oil exhausts. They wonder why they end up in trouble. I'm not trying to sell this church. Well, I always am. But I'm trying to tell you, there is a value to staying in the oil.
Yes.
Look at this. Look. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. The wise answered, said, no, I'm not giving you a mine. If you're not responsible to keep your own field, it's not my job to fill yours. We do not have the ability to transfer strength and anointing to those with no real desire for it.
Right.
I pray for people, the anointing leave and it bounce right back. Not any of you. There's some people out there just want to not serve God, but just kind of receive transfusions now and then.
Leeches.
What'd you say, Peggy?
Leeches.
Leeches. That's why I've told people, this is not an enabling church. We've already had people coming here with stories, and can you help me? Can you give me a financial handout? Unless God says to, no. You've been roaming around church to church trying to just leak something off, you know. I'm going to use the term sucker Christians. You're preying on their compassion. When the word says they won't work, won't eat. It's not my job to fund your laziness. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
If somebody really needs help, I'll help them. We'll help them.
Yeah.
But we're not suckers. And I've got many years of experience of following up on people's stories. For 25 years, I've had people come to me time and time again with a story. I started a job here. I'm traveling here. And in 25 years, I get to have a story lined up. Because I check on them. Well, you tell me you started a job when they called. Well, I'm on the phone. I'll ask them, do you have this person working for you? Just hired. We don't know who that is. Mm-hmm. Well, they're squirming in their chair. Somebody came to Patty one time at the coffee shop. She's trying to get me to give them money. I said, well, let's check on the story. Find out what hospital her son's at up in Columbus, Ohio. We start making calls. She got angry because we called her bluff. It's all a lie. Scam. Anyway, the wise said, no, I ain't falling for that one. Amen. And they said, go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. They told them where to go. Go to 318 Chambers Street. Get something there yourself.
That's good.
Amen. Chambers Avenue. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, let me stop right there. They went to buy. Now, it's unclear whether they knew where to go or not beforehand. There's a good chance they already knew where to go to buy. People know about this church, a lot of people. But they're too serious, they're too fanatical. There's too many personal responsibilities when you go there. They expect you to really pursue God yourself. We just want a word to tickle our ears. A lot of them know where to go. Now, the wise said, go there and buy it for yourself. Buying means there's an investment you make to qualify for it. Is this okay with you? There's something you've got to do to be qualified for the anointing. There's going to be an exchange of your time, your desires, your motivations, what you're willing to put down and pick up. Amen. There's a purchase price for the anointing. You're not going to buy it with money. You're going to buy it with your life. Your life investment. And so they went. Now, they may have known where to go before. Or maybe you mean I can go over there and get oil? They knew. Because they already had oil in their lamp in the past. You follow me? Maybe they were told a better place to go. I don't know. But they go to buy. They could have gone all along. But now it's midnight. Now the door gets shut. It says, afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. In other words, they went and got some oil. We don't know how much time passed. Because it's a life investment. It probably wasn't within, an hour or so. Could have been years. Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. That's the same thing Jesus said about those who will come to him in the last days. Mm-hmm. Lord, didn't we do many mighty works in your name?
Yeah.
Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. That's Jesus. They waited until it was clear in the natural it was midnight before they took steps to fill. And here God's saying, no, pursue now. You'll need it later. Did you follow me on that? And so this is the end times. The time is bridegroom's tarrying. And those that will not run with the vision, going back to Habakkuk 2, those that have a Bible and Habakkuk's in their Bible, maybe they read it, maybe they didn't. Whether they paint the house blue or not, or didn't know to paint the house, doesn't change. It's still the Lord's direction. Does that fit together okay? We're called to run toward the glory.
Yes.
And those Christians, those churches that make no effort to do so, are missing God. And are potentially running with an empty lamp. So how do you run toward the glory? You run toward the love. You run toward a relationship.
Yes.
We gave three steps of functioning in the glory. Do you remember the three steps? Three requirements. What's the first one?
Holiness.
Second one?
Praise and worship.
Thanksgiving, praise and worship.
Yes.
And third is?
Amen.
That's what you do. That's the purchase price. God, unless you're not going to live a perfect life, but you try to get the garbage out of your life.
Yes.
And listen, I'm not talking about narcotics and alcohol necessarily. Not even talking about lying and stealing. I mean, definitely you want to go to get those out. It could be gossip. It could be spiritual lethargy. It could be bitterness, whatever, keeping you from the things of the kingdom. God says, get that out.
Yeah.
Unforgiveness. It's
really a better word.
And in praise and worship, you're thankful in everything.
Yes.
I cut my thumb yesterday. Thank you, Lord, it's still attached.
Yeah.
It's one of those times I didn't know if I wanted to look at it right or not. Because that was a jagged blade. I hit my thumb. I know what was done. Because all I could see was blood. This morning, I'm looking at it closer. Lord, it's fine. It's going to heal right up. Not even bad. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thankful for everything and in everything. Not, so I'm sorry. Not thankful for everything, but thankful in everything.
In everything, yeah.
You maintain an attitude of you win all the time.
Yes.
This too shall turn to your salvation. And you keep your joy. I've had some disappointing news over the past few days. I'm going to, but stuff that, you know, I'm not thrilled about. But I still win.
Amen.
Jesus.
And I keep my joy.
Yes.
I celebrate. Well, you know, the glory I'm after is too valuable to give way to despondency or discouragement now.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And then all in. That's running. Whatever I got to do, whatever it takes, I'll shift whatever my life I have to run toward this Lord. Now go back to Habakkuk. I finally got through my introduction today. Praise the Lord. Let's see if I get to where I'm at least trying to go. Habakkuk chapter 2, right? He said the vision, verse 3, is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will not tarry. Verse 14 is the vision. The earth shall be filled with glory, right?
Yeah.
And I like it. It says, the knowledge of the glory as the waters cover the sea. Waters represents the move of the Spirit. Seas are the multitudes of people. Seas of people. As God's word is spread in an anointed fashion worldwide, glory is going to follow. Thank you, Jesus. But verse 4 is really where I'm trying to get today. We'll call it the introduction for next Sunday. It says, behold, he whose soul is lifted up is not upright in him. In other words, God's now telling us who the people of the glory are, who's qualified. And he says, somebody whose soul is lifted up is not qualified to carry the glory. Again, we've discussed it quite a bit in the past. To elevate your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And to elevate it means you think you know more than the Word. Which means since Jesus is the Word made flesh, you know more than God. Well, I know God's telling me this, but I think this would be better for me. Your soul just got lifted up. You follow me? Well, I know the Word says this, but I really want this. You just elevated your soul. Even not knowing what the Word says is saying, I don't need to know the Word. I can choose for myself what's best. You won't be able to carry the glory. The people that carry the glory recognize this Word as last authority, the voice of God's direction for their life, and it's mandatory we have this relationship where we hear God, we are analyzed with the Word to carry the glory of God. Is this going too far for you this morning?
No.
What I'm trying to get across is we're to be a supernatural people.
Yes.
And 90% of the church is not. They've settled for the lie, just try to be nice people. Mm-hmm. It was never God's plan. Let me put it to you this way. Jesus took some years training 12 disciples. Now, at the end of their training period, once he went to the cross and resurrected, did they live natural lives or supernatural lives?
Supernatural.
That's the ones he's training. And in John 17, he says, the words I've given you, you're going to tell others, and they're going to do what you do. And it ties back to the glory. That they can walk into glory. of the 12 disciples, 11 lived supernatural lives. One did not. Who was the one?
Judas.
Judas never came out of natural focus and expectation. He saw Jesus as another man. Do you follow me? He's stealing from the treasury. He carried the bag. He's stealing the money. He's living out of the natural, no supernatural revelation of who Jesus was and what he was doing. And guess what he did? He betrayed the calling. Living out of the natural, even if you're a Christian, even if you're in a great church, I would say that Jesus, as the teacher, the pastor, was probably a pretty good church.
Yeah.
If you follow the parallel. Yeah. And even in the midst of that, with the greatest teacher ever, the most loving man of God ever. See the parallel? Still, he was betrayed. Still, somebody who could not see into the supernatural chose the natural and betrayed him. Just a thought, but I believe it's true. If Jesus showed up today and started a church, a vast majority of Christianity would rebel against him. I mean, they didn't know who he was. You follow me?
Yeah.
He starts a church. Miracles are popping. He's preaching the word. Of course, he's preaching. He's preaching some, directives in it. I don't like the word commandment so much, but he's saying, here's what you got to do, here's what you shouldn't do. You got to be all in. Christian would rebel against it.
Yeah.
They'd have a fit. Who is this guy to tell us these things? The same one that told Judas stuff and he rebelled against it.
Yeah.
It's not always the pastor. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's people that won't accept spiritual responsibilities of living in the supernatural. I hope you're getting something out of this. So to lift up your soul again, Habakkuk 2:4, means you know more than the Word. You know more than God. You can make your own decisions. You don't need God telling you what to do, or a pastor inferring what you might want to do. It's you and God. So that's the people who won't go to the glory. But the next one is, but the just, that word just means righteous, shall live by his faith. The people, he says, that will manifest the glory are those that find out they're righteous through the blood, through the cross, and live by faith. Now, it's interesting. When Habakkuk received this, nobody had ever been righteous. Nobody ever been born again before that. When this was given to Habakkuk, he was given this passage 500 years before Jesus. This prophecy, the just shall live by faith and will manifest the glory. That was impossible before the cross. Nobody was righteous. Now some people have been declared righteous. Abraham, because he believed God, God attributed it to him as righteousness. He says, I'm going to call you righteous even though you're not. Did you know you've not been attributed righteousness? Say it again. You've not been attributed righteousness. And you just, I'll call you righteous even though you're not. You've been made righteous.
Yeah. Amen.
You've got what Abraham never could have. Mm-hmm. You've got what Habakkuk never had. You've been made a new creation. And he's prophesying 500 years before Christ this miracle transformation. And that it would be people that would live by faith. Live there as is translated, this passage translated in the New Testament, is Zoe. Meaning have the absolute fullness of life.
Yeah.
Healed. Joyful. Prosperous, family serving God, everything working according to the promises of God. By faith. Righteous have a right to have that.
Yes.
And it should be what we're pursuing. Is anybody going to do it perfectly? Probably not. Not until the glory hits anyway. I think the glory's going to fix a whole lot of stuff.
Amen.
The just shall live by faith. So when you read this passage in the New Testament, which we're going to do over the following weeks, is my plan. Of course, God's welcome to change things as He wants to, as He has this morning.
Amen.
The just shall live by faith is repeated in the New Testament 3 times. Now here we see Habakkuk tying this passage to the glory coming on earth. Right? And the people running towards it. And the writers of the New Testament, 2 times is Paul, and the 3rd time is the writer of Hebrews, who many believe is Paul. In fact, I believe most Bible scholars today believe Hebrews is written by Paul. I don't know. But in those 3 books, this phrase is repeated intentionally. It's quoted. This verse in Habakkuk is quoted in Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. Here's what I want you to see. Every time it's quoted, the writers of those books knew it tied to the glory of God. They knew it tied into the promise of a supernatural people rising up carrying the concentrated, tangible love of God. A people that lived above the natural, lived in the supernatural. And the just shall zoe, the fullness of the life of God, by faith. They knew that. How many believe Paul knew the Old Testament?
Oh, yeah.
He was a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Yeah. Yeah.
The chances are he had memorized the entire New Testament.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he spent time with Jesus post-cross in the wilderness, where Jesus explained the gospel to him in deeper levels. And I guarantee part of the training was on the glory of God coming on the church. Because Paul's the one who wrote about it so much. Christ in thee, the hope of glory. So I want to take just a minute this morning and show you a passage we'll come back to probably next time to give you an indication of what I'm talking about. It was to be my whole message this morning, but here we are. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Try to turn pages with a band-aid on my hand. Have you got it?
Yep.
Now this is Paul writing. And he's the Paul that knew the whole New Testament. I'll get it in a minute. That's a tongue twister. Whole Old New Testament. The whole Old Testament. He knew the whole Bible.
Yeah.
Wrote most of the new one, right?
Yes.
He says in verse 16, Romans chapter 1, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now stop right there. Here he's writing to the Romans defending the gospel. Now Rome was a polytheistic society back in these days. In other words, they believed in many gods. In fact, Rome wasn't even that, how can I say, rejecting of the gospel, because it was just another doctrine they had. In Israel, Judah, Galilee, the area of the Jews, it was rejected because they believed in the Old Testament, one God. The thought of another doctrine coming in was just unacceptable to them. Which wasn't a new, it was just a revelation of the old. But in Rome, they got gods everywhere. Statues of them. So Paul's writing Romans, and part of it he's defending the one true gospel. The true gospel. The one God. You following? He says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." The gospel refers to the revelation or the teaching of the cross. Really goes beyond that. What do you usually translate the gospel as meaning?
Good news.
Word of God.
Good news.
Good rewards.
The actual original meaning of gospel, you can find it in old Bible dictionaries, was not just good news. It was the rewards of the good news. So we write that in here, and Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed of the rewards of the good news. I'm not ashamed of the provision of the cross. I'm not ashamed of all that the cross purchases for us. You follow me?
Right.
He said, I'm not ashamed of this.
Right.
He said, for it is the power. See the word power? Dunamis. The dynamite, explosive, miracle-working power of God. Paul here now is tying the gospel to the supernatural. To the power of heaven being released into our lives. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Soteria, which includes all the aspects of Zoe.
Yes.
To everyone that believeth. Here's faith. The word believer there is the word pistis. It's the word for faith. To everyone that has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Paul is telling them it's not just a Jewish doctrine. It's everybody that will believe. And it's a doctrine of power unto salvation. Fullness of life.
Yeah.
Miracle working power in your life. I'm not ashamed of it. Paul here is tying the power of God being released to the gospel. Yet today in church, we just tie the cross getting to heaven someday to the gospel. We've limited the gospel to meaning if you receive Jesus, someday when you die, you can go to heaven.
Yeah.
Just be nice right now. Do a few good deeds. Hold on. Don't let go of that revelation. You go to heaven. And they limit it to a powerless walk versus an anointed run.
Jesus.
We're to be supernatural beings. Not just going to church and seeing it, but carrying it. And it's so easy. Can I share something with you?
Yes.
People come up and prayer lines are healed all the time. Many times I'm just almost surprised myself. This really works. This really works. You think you know it by now. You follow me?
Yes.
But the concept of the supernatural power working amongst us takes a faith connection.
Dave.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at, it's available to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, a week ago, I had Jessica come up and pray for somebody. Well, she came up and I kind of transferred to pray for somebody. She came right up this time. So, yeah, well, I'm ready.
Good.
It's on all of us.
Yes.
Just reach out and believe for it. Say, yes, God, and you'll be surprised when it happens.
Yes.
You go, oh, I knew this would work. Jesus. It's power.
Yes.
Power that transforms our lives and those around us. Look at verse 17. For therein what? The gospel. Therein is preaching of the cross, the good news. Is the righteousness of God revealed? In the gospel, one of the key things we're supposed to take out of the word, out of the New Testament, the gospel, really, the message of the cross, is the message of righteousness. Out of the word is the revelation. You are made a new creation through being born again. You're not who you used to be. Thank you, Jesus. He says, in the gospel therein is righteousness revealed. From faith to faith. For as it is written, quoting Habakkuk 2, the just shall live by faith.
Yes.
Paul here's time, his writings, the message of the gospel, The whole purpose, you said the whole purpose, a major purpose of the gospel is to get us to the glory as the righteous that live by faith. Are you following me so far?
Yeah.
Now we'll probably go back to this next week, but I want to take one more verse to see this further. Still Paul writing. Colossians, he says, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look at 2 Corinthians. Again, a passage we go to a lot, but I want you to see them tying together. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Have you got it?
Yep.
Verse 18. But we all. What's all mean? All of Christianity. Whoever Corinthians is written to, which includes us, all of the church, we all, with open face, in other words, willingness to receive new revelation, willingness to be changed, willingness to see what's really in the mirror, beholding as in a glass, the glass is the Bible, it's the gospel, where we all with open face, beholding in the gospel, the same gospel he talked about in Romans 1, going from faith to faith. Beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord. And I've talked about it before, but we've seen the difference between, it declared the difference between women, when women look in the mirror and men. Women get in the mirror and they're doing this. They got them from the front and the back and the side and they're like checking everything. Oh, no, look at close foot. Oh, boy. Oh, do I need surgery for this? What do I need? Botox? What are we going to do here? And they're tearing themselves apart in front of a mirror. So often. Men walk by and go, yep. Suck it in for me. It says the Bible's a mirror. We're to receive a reflection out of the mirror. And most Christians look in the mirror and they see their sin, their failings, shortcomings, how they let God down. They're falling short of the glory. Nothing ever going right. You follow me? Yet Paul says, look in the mirror. You should see the glory coming back.
Yeah.
In other words, not what you look like, but what God wants you to see yourself as.
Yes.
Not the natural image. You're not seeing the natural. You're to see you in the supernatural. And it says, we are changed. Look at this. We are changed into the same image.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to look at this book and quit seeing failure and start seeing glory. The assignment to run versus where you've stumbled in the past. Yeah. See the future. It says we're changed from glory to glory. He's saying, see the future in the Word. Quit looking at your past. From faith to faith.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. Even as by, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the right. I said faith to faith. From glory to glory. You should see yourself change from glory to glory every time you look in the Word. You shouldn't look the same today as you did a week ago. Not regarding the anointing. You may see the natural looking more older. But you see the Spirit carrying more anointing than ever before. More opportunity. I hope this is helping you.
Yeah.
Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. If you'll open up this book and read it and say, Spirit of God, help me see myself in it.
Yeah.
As you see me. See me where you want me. See me where you're taking me. See me and show me the glory. The Spirit of God will unveil this Word to you in a fashion that will take you to higher levels. Now, there'll be correction in it as well. Adjustments. But God's not, He knows what's best.
Yes.
The point is, follow me on this closing statement, first of however many. Follow me on this. Paul, throughout his writings, ties the gospel to the glory. He ties to the just shall live by faith. Do you follow me? His writing was not about a church's getting by. It was about a church going into the glory. The gospel. is all about the glory. They tie it straight back to Habakkuk chapter 2, this small little minor prophet, where God says, this is what you run toward. And I'm of the opinion, and you get to choose for yourself, this was not a suggestion. It's the assignment for the end time church. Yet if we take it as a suggestion, we'll revert to the natural. Don't let yourself do it. Don't let yourself just try to get by in Christianity. Demand more of yourself. We're better than that.
Yes.
We're designed for such a time as this. I don't care what you're going through. Turn it over to God and run. Hear Him, do what He says. It'll turn out. You know why? We win.
Amen.
I want you to have a we-win mentality. Did you get anything out of this morning?
Yes.
Father, we thank You for Your Word, for the rights of the gospel, the rewards of the good news. And we declare in this church there are none sick, none in pain, none oppressed. You delivered us from all of that. None in lack. Oh, glory to God. None in despair, no oppression, and no strife or stress. I thank You, Father, every curse sent against this church is sent back sevenfold to the ones that sent them. And we have favor with God, amen, and everything we put our hand to. And we step into fulfilling Your high calling. We thank You for providing all of our need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.